since you mentioned this agreement, the maritime agreement was concluded shortly before this November 1st election in Israel, and this will be our last podcast before that election. Why don't you give a little update about where things are? And I if you could also address your comments, where things stand, you know, with the main parties, with Gantz, with party, with Netanyahu, Likud, and Lapid. But also, I think there's been some attention to the rise of the religious Zionist party with Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, and how that might impact coalition building.
So we probably should talk about a potential coalition right after the next election, because then we can get into all the details. First, in terms of the vote that is coming up on November 1st, which will be Tuesday, November 1st will be the vote. For those of our listeners who have not followed the Israeli elections closely over the last, you know, 70 or 80 days since they were called, you haven't missed anything. You're more or less where you were before, meaning you have a Netanyahu block that is hovering, according to polls, somewhere between 59 and 62 was the highest I've seen. Maybe an average of about 60, 60 and a half, somewhere there. And you have an anti-Netanyahu block that is also going somewhere probably 55 to 57, 58. And then you have like sort of one Arab party that is really in the anti-Netanyahu block, but is sometimes not included in it. I think that the contours of the race really have not changed. There have been changes within those two blocks. There's been a shift somewhat from the Likud. There's four parties in the Netanyahu coalition, Netanyahu, so-called Netanyahu bloc. There's Netanyahu's own Likud party. There's the National Religious Party of Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, and there's the two ultra-Orthodox parties. According to the polls, the two ultra-Orthodox parties have been sort of a flat line. They've been more or less the same. In some polls, they're 15, 16, somewhere around there. And then with Likud and with the National Religious Party, there has been a shift within the bloc. Rather than Likud being, let's say, 35, and this other party being 10, now it's moved towards Likud is closer to like 31. In one poll, they had him at 30, and the other party is maybe at 14. So there has been a shift that has moved from Netanyahu's party, the Likud, over to Smotrich and Ben-Gvir. I think largely the issue seems to be law and order. There's a lot of young people that, you know, because he comes off as a person who is, I'm going to solve the problems of personal security. And
it's
maybe
about Smotrich. Yeah.
It's less Smotrich. It's really Ben-Gvir.
Oh, more him.
Ben-Gvir and Smotrich joined together as a party. But before they did, Ben-Gvir was getting about 8 seats in the polls and Smotrich was about 5. So if you're looking at who is actually delivering more to the party in terms of voters, it's definitely Ben-Gvir. And I think part of that is the attitude a lot of Israelis that we need somebody who's going to be extremely tough and crack down on law and order and sort of not only crime but also terrorism, because you've seen in the last few weeks you've had an uptick of terrorist attacks against Israel. And Netanyahu here, I think, is hurt by the fact that he was in office for a very long time. So, you know, Israelis are always looking for something fresh, and for them, that's new. So Netanyahu was there for 12 years, 15 years. Yes, maybe he was better on this or worse on this, but here's somebody new. He's promising us that he's going to solve this problem, you know, give him a chance kind of thing. As we move towards the home stretch, that trend can continue where more votes bleed over from the Likud, go to Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, or it could actually be reversed down the stretch. I think the campaign in Israel, frankly, started on Tuesday because we had a summer in Israel where a lot of people are out of the country at different times. There was very little campaigning that went on. And then we came back from the summer, and within about 10, 15 days, we had the Jewish holidays that stretched over a 3-4 week period. And so now you have the last 2 weeks before the campaign. This is when the parties, I think, have 70% of their financing is going to the last 2 weeks of the campaign. So it's all happening now. So we'll see that dynamic on the right, not only whether the right will get 61 or 60 or 59 or 62, whatever it is, But what will be the ratio between Netanyahu and that other party? Because that's where the movement has been. On the other side, there it's the bloc is more or less the same size, but there's been movements within the bloc. Lapid's party has grown, and it's grown at the expense of a little bit of labor, a little bit of merits. And Gantz's party, that many people thought when he had made this alliance, Gantz, with who's a former chief military chief of staff, who went with another former chief of staff, Gadi Eisenkot, and also added Gideon Saar, that would boost them to the, you know, the high teens or something like that. But that hasn't happened. They've been stuck at around 12 seats in the polls for the whole time. And Lapid, you know, slowly but surely, being in the post of the prime minister, he has consolidated. He has attracted votes from within his bloc, and now his party is at about 25 seats, 24, 25 seats in the poll. So he has been strengthened. I think when we spoke about this on a previous podcast, I said that there were three issues that you have to focus on. And those issues are exactly the focus that all of our listeners should focus on the last, you know, 2 weeks. Number one is what the turnout will be of the Arab vote in Israel. So in one of the rounds, you know, this is the round number 5 in Israeli elections over the last 3 years. But I think in round 2, the Arab turnout was about 64%. And the Arab parties united, and they had 15 seats. Okay? That was the high point. Last time, I think the turnout went down to 46%. They were divided into two parties, and they only ended up with 10 seats. Now they are divided into three parties. One of the parties does not get in. Another party is on the threshold of maybe not getting in. And the turnout rates, according to what most pollsters are looking at, is in the low 40s, even worse than it was last time. So you might have a situation where they have 8 seats within 2 parties, or even 4 seats and only one party gets in. You don't know. It's going to be depend on the turnout of election day, which is why Lapid has now, because he wants to get as many Arabs to vote as possible to raise that vote, because he understands that he has no path to get to 61 without having a very high Arab turnout in his election, because they would support the parties of the left rather than the parties of the right. Although I have to tell you, this is interesting. Do you know that Likud gets a higher percent of the vote than any other Zionist party? They get more votes than Labor and Meretz combined from the Arabs. From Israeli Arabs, about 10%, according to the polls that I've seen, 10% wow. vote for Likud. Now, about a quarter vote for Ram's party from the one, and about a quarter vote for...
Why you is know,
the,
that?
I think it could be many reasons. I think that, you know, Netanyahu over a long period of time invested a lot of resources in the Arab sector, and they may feel that they want law and order. And they feel that under the right, that their situation would be better than under the left. And the people who most suffer from a breakdown of law and order within the Arab sector are the Israeli Arabs themselves. You know, you have shootings that happen, sometimes they happen, you know, every week or every day. And these terrible tragedies of a little girl that's playing on a playground who gets, you know, 4-year-old who gets shot, and one sort of mafia gang attacks another mafia gang in the Arab sector. And it has become, you know, a no-go area sometimes for the Israeli police. And they may feel that, you know, a much stronger hand at the helm is necessary. But it surprised me that Netanyahu's vote, I think, was as big as 3 or 4 parties on the left combined. It's not high. It's about 10% of the Israeli Arab vote, but it's maybe a seat and a half that Likud is getting actually from Israeli Arabs. So I don't know how much that's factored into the polls themselves, but I thought it's an interesting point. The second issue beyond the Israeli Arabs that I think we talked about it as well is, will Likud voters who stayed home last time, will they come to vote? And there's a debate in Israel about how many people there are. Some people think there are 250 or 300,000 voters who stayed home. I don't think that's true. I think the number is probably around 60,000, maybe 80,000 voters. So it's a seat and a half to 2 seats of Likud voters who voted in previous rounds but decided to not come out in the last election. Why? Because they were tired of voting a fourth time, because they were certain that Netanyahu was going to win. There's many reasons why they decided not to come. And Netanyahu's campaign really for the last 2 months has been to get that base of support to show up at the election. And the thing that really fires them up more than anything else is Netanyahu lost, and they saw the government that was there when he stepped aside, that they saw a government that not only had parties that were perceived to be on the right, but they had left parties and also anti-Zionist Arab parties. And they don't want to see that happen again. So the second question beyond the Arab turnout is, will these Likud faithful who didn't show up to an election, will they come out of and vote? And the third issue is, do you have parties that don't make the electoral threshold? This, you have to get 3.25% of the national vote. And right now, the parties that would be in danger would be on the left side of the spectrum, not on the right side. And the smallest party on the right side, according to polls, is at 7 seats. So they're not close to the 4 threshold. Whereas on the other side, you've got all the Arab parties that are there, all of them, are not more than 5. You've got Labor that's there, I think has 5, and in some polls 4. And you've got Meretz that's there, that was in 4 and recently did not even get in to the Knesset, according to certain polls. So you may very well see on election night that one of those parties doesn't make it. And if that happens, that shifts everything to the right. So the same factors that we saw 3 months ago, we see today. The campaign really just started 2 days ago. I think it's the last 14 days will be very intense, or the last 12 days will be very intense. And it might be a long night on election night to see. The polls have been fairly accurate. Sometimes they're wrong within the blocks, but remember, a seat or two, every seat is about 0.7% of the vote. So if you're off by a 1% or 1.5%, it can shift pretty dramatically from a 61-59 to 61-59 the other way. So we'll wait and see how it plays out. And I'm be curious to know whether or not on the right, whether or not Ben-Gvir's and Smotrich's party can continue to take votes away from Likud. Right now, they're the third biggest party in Israel. After Likud and after Lapid, Ben-Gvir's party is the third largest party in Israel before Gantz.
Wow.
So that's a lot of voters that are voting for that, platform.
I'll tell you, now that this will be Israel's fifth election in 4 years, is that right? Or something like that? Or fourth election?
Yeah.
Fifth election. Although I think before we mock Israel's political situation too much, it was today that it was announced that Liz Truss, the British prime minister, has just resigned after being in office, being prime minister only 44 days, which apparently is a record. But I think Britain will have their third prime minister in 3 years. And of course, while in England, you've had the
same. They're going to have their fifth in, I think, 6 or 7 years, because they had Cameron.
Yeah, that's right.
They had May.
That's right. Right.
Then they had Boris, now Truss, and there'll be a fifth.
Right.
Probably in the next couple of months. You can hear the thunder in the background. It's not my stomach. That's Israel's getting its first rain. We pray for the rain in Israel. Oh, yeah. So apparently our prayers have been answered.
But it's really something. It might be a conversation for another episode to talk about the state of Western democracies in a real sense, not in a panic, hysterical sense. But it is rather amazing what's been going on, of course, in England. It's the same party that's in power for a long time. It's just different prime ministers. And in Israel, of course, you did have that with Netanyahu being prime minister for a long time. But now we've had, we'll see on our next episode, of course, we'll be able to see what the election results are and the beginnings of what possible coalition machinations are going to occur, and that will be determined.
Was it Bismarck? Don't watch sausage making or legislation, how that's made. If Bismarck would have understood how coalitions are made in Israel, he would have definitely preferred a trip to the sausage factory.
Yeah, look, so I was thinking of the line attributed to Churchill, of course, that democracy is the worst form of government. As opposed to, except
for all the other ones that have been tried.
Yeah, but this is, it's looking in a lot of countries, And of course, the episode, our next episode will be right before the U.S. Election, which will also be rather momentous and also have impact on the Middle East.